Well, staying with West Clare, we heard music a couple of months ago from one of the albums which was released during the Willie Clancy Summer School this year. That's Touch Me If You Dare, featuring the piping of Ronan Brown and fiddle playing of Peter O'Loughlin from Kilmaley. A couple of reels we'll hear from them first of all tonight. The first one is The West Wind and then The Flogging Reel. Wind and the Flogging Reel there from Ronan Brown and Peter O'Loughlin, taken from their new album Touch Me If You Dare. Well, last night I visited Peter O'Loughlin at his home in Kilmaley and we talked about the CD and about music in general. And first of all, I asked Peter when he first met Ronan and started playing music with him.
Ronan tells me, and I think he's right, that I first met him in the street in Milltown, and his mother introduced him to me, and he looked up at me and he said, "I thought he was dead." You know, that is a part of anything that anyone asks me about Ronan. But that happened, I think. Ronan, a lot of the people that he heard us talking about were all dead. So that was it. That was the, I think he said that was 1982 or something. But we made that went on, been playing meeting now and again. And he came down here. Well, he came down here to do a bit of rehearsing for the first one we made there. Southwest Wind, and he was playing great, but before he came down to prepare for that, he had been playing great for a long time, and I think it was the whole cause of it. So we were up in Dublin one night and we played in Slattery's, and at the time your man that was working for Cladda there, he's not there anymore, Tom Sherlock, he was running those sessions, it seems. And the chat of making a record, it was the CDs now, it was the vinyl then, came up and he said, "Okay, I'll look after it or I'll see about it." So it happened. And that was it. That's we played a good bit together before we did that, because it was through playing together, but we were convinced that we could do it.
Can I ask you what it was about Ronan's style, because obviously he was an awful lot younger than you. I mean, back in 1982, he was just a young boy, I suppose, starting out learning the pipes. What was it about his style that attracted you?
Well, what attracted me about his style is that he was on the tail of Willie Dempsey, and I was well used to Willie Dempsey, and I found traditionally Willie back again. You know, when I went playing with Ronan, and then he had bits of Seamus Innes, and he was so competent at a young age that he could have a go at any piper's tune, you know, and play nearly like the piper. He was brilliant, to do things that he wanted to do, and he was relaxed at it. I remember making that CD, or whatever you call it, in the studio in Dublin. And this big long chanter, you see, and Ronan was playing away, and this is more for the camera now than for a mic. But Ronan, there's something itched his nose, and he rubbed his nose to the top of the chanter and still played on. You know? I think he'd do it for divilment anyway. But it didn't upset him, whatever he was doing. He still played the tune.
It's interesting that you talk there about the fact that he played so much like Willie Clancy, because I suppose by that stage, a lot of the older musicians that you had played with, like Willie Clancy, had passed on, and you were probably missed them to a big extent.
Willie was dead since 1973, and when we made the record, was either 88 or 89. Willie was dead, I suppose, when Ronan thought I was dead too, you know, so that's... and possibly Dennis Murphy, I'm not sure. But I know Ivor Brown had been visiting Willie, visiting Dennis Murphy, visiting Sean McDonagh, and that's how Ronan heard so much about those people. And they had recordings and cassette tapes of all of those. And I suppose Ronan got a bit, if you'd like, brainwashed into playing what they were after collecting, you know. But he did it in fine style.
Talk to me a little bit about Willie Clancy, because he was a great friend of yours.
He was, but Willie was a good friend of so many people, and I was no special friend. But we did, when he did come home from England in 1957 for a county flat that was in Milltown, he had already, I think, been home in 56 for an Ennis All-Ireland flat. But he came home in 57 and he stayed. And it's just from there on, going back to meet him in Milltown and playing in Quayle's and playing in Freels and then several places that we played a lot of tunes together. And Sean Kane used to come, Sean Chieftain Sean, and I don't think I ever, whatever myself and Ronan could do, but I don't think I ever heard anything like Willie Clancy and Sean Kane could turn out, because there again it was Sean's value for what was Willie's piping, that he was piping and the fiddling as well. So I heard him one night in Freels, and you know all the little rooms that were there. They were in one room, I was outside in the other one, and I wouldn't go in. I wouldn't go in for the simple reason that they were going so well, some idiot would say, join them. And it wasn't going to do them any good. It was something else to hear the two of them. They were both pipers together.
Mm.
But no, I couldn't bear to be asked to interfere with that stuff. I went in when they stopped.
Would you have been playing the flute now in those days?
I was, yeah. I had a lot of good sessions in the flute with the fiddle with Sean Kane as well. But I suppose I was beginning to flatten out a bit at the time. Although that's 73. This would be in the mid-60s now I'm talking about. But I did go around a few places with Willie. Went to Belfast one time. And we had a great weekend, apart from any piping. Mickey Hanrahan and J.C. Talty, myself and Willie. There were some great things said. And we went up to the Queen's University to play at a concert. And we thought we were going, I don't know who organised this, but it wasn't me. Someone wanted to get Willie up there, I suppose. But we went up thinking that we'd be doing the normal kind of a concert. You know, a few tunes and get off the stage and go. Like, we played for 2 hours. That was the concert, the two of us. Sean McAloon and a man called Tommy Gunn were playing before us, and when they stopped, we did the whole night. I don't know, but Willie did a bit of singing as well. But it was a great place to play. There was a great audience there. There was a bar there. They would nip over to the corner and get their drink and come back, and you wouldn't know what was happening. A very, very orderly crowd. So we had lots of old places like that, sessions, including a week we spent around here with Joe Haney. with Sean Kane again, myself, Paddy Murphy, Seamus McMahon and Willie. Great week, few small concerts around in the different Ennis and back in Carrigaholt and Milltown and Distune Varna. Not, I don't think it was every night of the week, but it was nearly.
Would there have been a really big welcome for Shannon singers around this area in those days?
No, no. And they didn't know anything about Shannon singing. The nearest to Shannon singing was Mickey Hanrahan. And he wouldn't be classed as a Shannon singer, but a good singer. When we used to have concerts down here in the local hall, we always had a Shannon singer, and it was always Shannon Dunica. And we, the MC was always Sean O'Gotuma. And I used to switch when Sean McDonough was going out on the stage. But Sean O'Gotuma introduced him so well, introduced the song, translated it in there and then, before it was sung, and he went put it over perfect, and there went a sound in that place. But if you just ran him out on the stage to start a Sean O'Gotuma song, I don't think it would have been received so well. But they weren't around here. There were singers around here, but as a matter of fact, there was a fiddler back here in Connolly, Hughie Doohan, and he would play the tune fairly good, but when it comes to the song, it had to be John McCormick. So you know that's the mix, which didn't mix too well.
You've been talking here about people that you used to play with and singers that used to come around here visiting and that, and sadly most of the people that you've been talking about there have passed away. But you yourself have, I think, very much still continued playing, and nowadays when we see you playing, it always seems to be with people who are quite a bit younger than you.
I should have grand, didn't I? Well, Ronan was the first, of course, the young person, you know. And it wasn't because he was young, it wasn't because I was old. Maybe it was because I was old, it suited him. In his view with music, and if he was wanting to play because of what he learned from Willie Clancy, I suppose I was the person to join in that thing, because you could put better fiddlers than me with Ronan Brown that wouldn't put it over as well, you know, the style wouldn't be the same. And when it comes to Maeve Donnelly, she's another younger one. Well, I know Maeve for a long, long time, since I met her first back in Kilmehel. She was a little scooper of a girl. And I tell you, she frightened me with Colonel Fraser. And I know her ever since. And now, she hadn't gone to the training college then. And she was playing music good, I believe, at 10 years. But we have met at sessions. And this one that is to come is another accident. Because we had a session inside in Falls one night when the moving cloud were in action. But this was just an ordinary session. And they were all there. I was playing the fiddle. We packed up to go home. I have this story told several times because people ask me, why the hell did I come back to a flute out of? There was a flute long time and Carter left beside me, and I just picked it up and, you know, try this, what's it like? And it played so easy that they said, go on, play a tune, play a tune. I didn't want to play a tune because I wasn't used to it or doing it at all. So I said, for peace, then I said, no, take out the fiddle and we'll try a tune. That little gimmick, I think, went on. Then from there on, at every session, we had to do this party piece, fiddle and flute. So when myself and Ronan were doing the CD, and the fiddle and flute things used to be going so well, I said to me, will you chance a couple of tracks with me? And away we went. And when we were up in Ronan's house when we were doing it, it was going so well now, the fiddle and flute, and I'm not boasting of it, it'll be heard. And it is good. But Ronan was funny, you know. I've something to say to you, he said, after you finished this track. And I said, say it now. You can boop one of these words now. He said, off and make your own CD, you know. So I said, we may do that too, but we're doing this as well, because we may never make the CD.
What had persuaded you in the first place to stop playing the flute and to move more towards playing the fiddle?
Well, I didn't move towards the fiddle because I've stopped the flute. I was playing the fiddle since I was a teenager anyway. It wasn't the first thing. Flute was first. But as time went on, I played the flute all the time with the Tulla band and with all any band I ever played with. And then the gore flake set in. The wind and the teeth. See, I don't have teeth of my own. I got them in towns, if you want to say, you know. So that was So interesting. Anyway, I suppose it didn't improve on your beard age, but this is a bit of a miracle, I think. So that's why I stopped playing a flute, because I suppose I felt that it was easier to be playing a fiddle and blowing wind and wind that you didn't have.
But you now discover that you do still have it.
Only with the shelter of a good fiddler and anybody else that was playing well, you know. If I was playing with someone now that I was trying to pull him along, I'd be a failure. But I don't have to pull Maeve along, you know, she's there strong with me. That in its own, in itself, when you're playing the tune, is encouragement. That there is someone not letting you down. You know, that they're leading the way and you'll fit in fine with that. I hope it did anyway, but that's the way I've done.
Just to come back to the album, to the album of yourself and Ronan again, will you tell me a little bit about the choice of and the selection of tunes? Not too many new compositions in there anyway.
Well, I think new compositions are to be avoided. And we didn't dream of a new composition. And all the tunes we played are not unknown to everyone else. And there's a possibility that the new composers mightn't even know some of the old tunes we played. I don't know. But they are not played anyway. Only when we meet in a session with Maeve and us, we play the same tunes as well. With maybe other not new compositions stuck in, but that will be a session. So that's if you look at the CD and go along to all the names, you will find that they're played by several musicians ahead of us 50, 60, you know, maybe 100 years ago. And they seem to be live on through all the new composers and everything, that they're still way up front. With most people, too. Well, no one say most people. A lot of people ignore them, but the old people, we're doing what we feel is, and they're suitable to the two instruments.
I was going to ask you that. Would many of them be tunes which would have been favourites of pipers?
There were pipers and fiddlers and flute players.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose the odd accordion player as well. Because around here, no more than the Shannon was singing, we didn't have accordion players. And we were always mourning because we didn't have an accordion player for the band. And you know, I'm beginning to think we were lucky. You know, that they were such a scarce thing. They were valuable for the band, which then the next thing was Joe Cooley appeared with about 1946. He immigrated and Paddy O'Brien took over, and accordion players grew up like lawn seed then, you know. So the country's full of them. And they're fine. They're great players. Some not so great, as you would say. But we weren't in any way swayed by accordions in any of our recordings. Even in the fiddle and flute one, they are now, they're all things that I have heard a lot played by other instruments other than accordions or concertinas either. But they're old, nice, tasty tunes that will live on. I hope that they will live on.
playing flute on that track with Peter O'Loughlin on fiddle. Two jigs, Down the Back Lane and Fraher's Jig there, and those tunes again taken from that album Touch Me If You Dare, released on the Tlada record label earlier this summer, and very much look forward to hearing the music from the album from Peter O'Loughlin and Maeve Donnelly, which has been recorded and hopefully will be released in the not too distant future. And my thanks indeed to Peter O'Loughlin there for that, and hopefully you heard the dog during that interview enjoying what Peter had to say as well when I visited his house in Kilmaley last night.